Lord be with you.
With you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then he will send out the angels to gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches become tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, we have this class going on, a group that is in the OCIA program, and as what we're doing with it, these are individuals who are looking to possibly join the Catholic Church, become Catholic, and they're coming from different backgrounds. There's a couple Muslims. There's a couple that have like maybe a Buddhist kind of a background, and actually a lot of them don't really have much religious background, whatever. But they're seeking answers to the greatest questions about life and existence and God. And that's what kind of has them moving. That's why they haven't found those answers elsewhere. At some point, they're recognizing something in the answers that the Catholic Church is giving to these great questions that's resonating with them. That's starting to make sense. I think I can wrap my head around that. I think I can wrap my heart around that. And these questions, these big questions, are the great existential questions that pretty much all religions are striving to answer. We've talked about this here before. Like, where do we come from? What happens when we die? How should we treat one another? Who or what is God, and how are we to relate to him? Now, like I said, all the religions are striving to answer those questions, and not all the answers are the same, and they're not all equal, and some are better than others. But thanks be to God, what we believe in about Christianity, about our Catholic Church, is that God actually did give us an answer to all those questions. And it comes in its fullness in the person of Jesus Christ and his message, but it also comes throughout the inspiration in the Old Testament and the rest of the New Testament. All of that together is sufficient and gives us what we need. And the Holy Spirit then is working in us. Okay. So we have this sense that there's answers to these questions. We have a sense that there must be something after life. And that's why we go looking for an answer. We have a sense that there must be some kind of origin to us that's not just some molecular reaction that took place millennia ago. So there's another intuition, another sense that we have, and this is what I want to focus on today, another one of these universal intuitions, you could call it, is that the world as we know it isn't just going to continue on century after century, millennia, just like this. And that at some point, there's going to be a conclusion, sort of like a wrapping up of this. Because it just somehow doesn't make sense that really like 50 billion years from now, when our sun turns into a red giant and absorbs this, plus Mars and all the colonies that Elon puts on Mars, that absorbs everything. And then that's, but really 50 billion years, that is that what the plan is here? I mean, that's not very appealing. I mean, that's almost about the equivalent of, although we know that our life is going to end, it's like you kind of think, well, wouldn't it make sense that the whole thing is going to end and not some extreme thing way out a gazillion years from now? It's like the suffering of this life that we go through is like, well, I don't want to be here in the flesh like this forever. And so in a certain way, death is a hope of having all of our desires fulfilled. And I think the same way there's this intuition that throughout history, humanity has had that the world as we know it isn't going to stay like this. We're not going to be stuck in a perpetual series of election cycles and wars and other things. It doesn't, like, there's an intuition, it doesn't make sense that that's how everything is going to go forever. Now, we just heard our Lord talk about this, that he's saying, no, you're right, this doesn't go on forever. And there's other religions have talked about this, and it's kind of maybe a curiosity. I got a little sidetracked as I was thinking about this. It's like, don't almost all these extreme cults have this as like a major piece, the end of the world? Like, how can they attract members and people unless they're tapping into some real, they're hijacking, being a parasite on something that's, we're actually, some way in which we're actually hardwired? They got to offer something that kind of makes at least some sense. Otherwise, no one would follow them at all. So we have like the Branch Davidians, we have Heaven's Gate, Seventh-day Adventists, but they kept changing the date. They had to keep kicking it out further and further because we kept coming up to the date and then, whoops, okay, it didn't happen. Well, it must be that it must. But then the people stuck with him because everyone knows that, yeah, it's got to end at some time. Raelians with UFOs and things like that. There's even a secular version of this anticipating the end of the world that, again, just kind of, I think it just oozes out of us because we're hardwired with it. And that's, you think about these doomsday prepper groups or like what we were doing back in Y2K. It's like, oh no, the end of civilization is going to happen with this. And it just didn't, like, there's like a light bulb that flickered once, and that was about it. Or these ecological doomsday, apocalyptical ecological groups, they're saying, just 4 more years and this, the ocean's gonna rise up to the top. It's like, I don't know that it's happening. It's not an excuse to abuse the environment, but it's in us. It's in us, and it comes out no matter what our religious beliefs are. So that we're talking about, Jesus talks about what's going to happen right here. Talks in the book of Daniel, in the Old Testament. We see it in the book of Isaiah as well, in Ezekiel. We see these predictions, these prophecies, these explanations of what's going to happen. In Daniel, it's really vivid. It's saying how, or was at the end of time, there shall arise Michael, the great prince, Michael the archangel, presumably. And at that time, your people shall escape, but those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some shall live forever. Others shall be in everlasting horror and disgrace. It's not just that time stops, but rather there's this culmination of history, a conclusion, a tying up, a wrapping up of history. So that's what's going to happen, but why? Why is God telling us about, why is our Lord telling us about these things in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the words of our Lord? Why did he hardwire that into us? I think we can find the answer to the why if we look a little bit about, well, what's our reaction when we spend time thinking about the end of our own lives or the end of history? There's the one reaction is that it's almost like disbelief, or it's so impractical. Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, 50 billion, sure, when the sun goes red nova or red giant. it's just not, doesn't really impact them. It's like, or there's like a disbelief or an intentional disbelief. Like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to compartmentalize that over there. For others, the reaction of hearing these words of the gospel or the prophet Daniel, there's actually a little bit of nervousness kicks in, or some anxiety, a little bit of unease, like, ooh, I don't know, I want to be around for that. Lord, just like going to sleep one night and not waking up the next day would be quite all right for me. And so there's this nervousness about not having to experience such turmoil. But if you look in the Gospels and you look in even in the Old Testament, it's this culmination of the plan of God for us. It's not just some spectacular nuclear holocaust coming in and just wiping us all out. No, it's this culmination of justice and love and the fulfillment of every good thing that God wants to give us if we'll take it, if we'll have it. And the world as we know it isn't going to continue on. There's going to be this ultimate and finally healing of everything that's wrong with us. Everything that's wrong or deficient in our relationship with God, in our relationship with each other, in our relationship with the rest of creation. That there'll be a healing of that. There will be a peace and a harmony and a beauty that we know must come about at some time, but haven't seen it fully yet. We get these little snippets of it. We get these intuitions about it, that the world must end like that. It can't just stay on like this. I don't believe that God's going to try to play gotcha with us and try to wait till we're at our worst moment and then, gotcha, I was waiting for you to mess up that way. I was waiting for the world to just be at its worst so I could just like get them. That's not God. That's what someone, one of us might do, but that's not who God is. He wants to heal, restore. We see this what does this great healing, this final restoration look like? Well, it's in other places we see it in 2 Peter, one of the apostles, one who followed Jesus, spent years, 3 years with him, and then one of his closest collaborators after the Lord ascended to heaven. Peter, in the second letter, Peter talks about, but according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Not just like the heaven to which we go after we die, but it's like there's going to be a giant reset of everything. Not the great reset, that's a different thing. And in the book of Revelation, John, one of the other disciples who spent 3 years with our Lord and spent his whole life delving into the mysteries of God and preaching and spreading the good news. He says in the book of Revelation, then I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. I don't know why the sea has to go away, but anyways, that's what he said. There's something's new. There's something that's going to be this eternal heaven, an eternal earth, the way God originally intended it, but even like better still. Not just more of the same that we have now. So our Lord is telling about this because he's not trying to play gotcha. He wants us to be ready. He's telling us that he himself doesn't know the time or place, just like we don't know the time or place of our own passing. Nor does the Son even know it or the angels know what it'll be for the rest of the world. But this is where I want to go with this. Regardless of what your reaction to thinking about these things is, whether it's nervous anxiety or if it's just kind of like, yeah, sure, like, well, that'll be someone else's problem in 8,000 years from now. I mean, regardless of what your reaction is, God still has this in store for you, this new heavens and new earth, even if we pass away prior to that moment. And that new heavens and new earth is great healing of everything that's wrong with us. He wants to start with us now, and that's why he's telling about this to us now. But he's not going to do it without us saying, yes, I want that. I long for that. Thy kingdom come. The very last prayer in the book of Revelation, the last lifting up of the heart in the last end of the book of Revelation is, amen, come, Lord Jesus. There's a longing for this to come. I think that's what we should foster in our hearts, not a fear or an anxiety about it. If we do have fear and anxiety, it's probably because maybe we're not really right with the Lord. That's a different thing to solve. But to long for this, knowing that his plan isn't for us to be stuck here as humanity, not to be stuck here in the same again and again, and another generation comes, another generation suffers, another generation goes. At some point there will be an end. And it'll be a fulfillment, not a squashing. And it'll be a joyous occasion for all those who long and desire and foster that longing and foster that desire in their souls for the great eternal things. So I want to give you the challenge that I gave last week at the 7 p.m. And we'll conclude with this at the 7 p.m. Mass. And it's a way of fostering this in our heart and responding well to everything that God wants to do with us now to prepare us for that. And here's the challenge. I might have done this maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, but I forget. And the challenge is this. For the next 24 hours, anytime God presents to you some good thing, some beautiful thing, some true thing, maybe it's an action, maybe it's just say yes to it. Something that he lays on your heart. Just say yes to it. For the next 24 hours. That's the first challenge. If you're thinking, I got that in the bag. Okay, we're going to the second challenge, and this is the 2.0 version, the advanced one, is that, okay, do it for 1 week. 1 week, saying yes to God every time he presents to something good, something, maybe it's an inspiration to stop and pray. Maybe it's an inspiration to reach out to somebody. Because all that is part of this great healing that he wants to do. And that's a way of fostering this desire in our hearts to say, come, Lord Jesus, thy kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Don't worry, because you're probably like, I don't know if I want to do that because something weird might happen. You might ask me some extreme like life change and the next thing I know, I'm going to be out there living under a bridge or something like that because he's going to ask me to give away everything. No, don't worry about that. God is not weird. He doesn't do weird stuff with you and he's not looking to, your own bad psychology will get you at those places, not God. So if what is laid on your heart is some massive life change, talk to me, please, before you actually do it. And then we'll get another set of eyes on it and see if that's what God's really asking. But God's not going to do, he's not going to shortchange you. He's not going to say, ha, gotcha, just when you were generous, I pull a fast one on you. That's not God. He only has good things in store for us. So that's why we should trust him with our lives, with our yeses. And we can trust him with what he wants to do with the end of our life and the end of this world here. Because what he has prepared for us is so much better and greater in this great healing, this great restoring of every good thing he planned for us from the very beginning.